a 71-year-old ice cream man was arrested Tuesday at his Dearborn home on an immigration violation. Mahmoud Bazzi is accused of the torture killings of two Irish soldiers in Lebanon in 1980. The soldiers were part of the UN peacekeeping mission in southern Lebanon. A third Irish soldier was shot but survived. Bazzi moved to the United States shortly after the killings and settled in Dearborn. Jim Schaefer's been covering this story for the Detroit Free Press. Jim, just what happened at Mahmoud Bazzi's home in Dearborn yesterday?
Well, immigration officials went there and picked him up 34 years after he is suspected of having taken part in the abduction and possible shooting deaths of two Irishmen who were soldiers as part of a peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon, and the wounding of a third soldier. Ostensibly, they arrested Mr. Bazzi on an immigration violation. We've learned from Bazzi himself that he entered the country about 21 years ago on somebody else's passport. So that's the violation that our government is now holding him on and intends to deport him on.
Jim, take us back to what was going on with the Lebanese Civil War and what happened to those soldiers on April 18th, 1980. The country was in the middle of a fierce civil war.
Well, there was a civil war going on at the time in Lebanon, many different factions, a lot of chaos, and Israel at one point had been attacked in the late 1970s. So they invaded southern Lebanon to defend their interests. The United Nations brokered a treaty in which Israel had to recede back within its borders, but the UN installed a peacekeeping force in southern Lebanon at the time. And the Irish have always been great about supplying troops for peacekeeping forces. This wasn't the first time they had done it, and they're still doing it today, actually. So they sent lots of troops that were installed in southern Lebanon to keep the peace between the different factions that were fighting there. There was a Christian militia that was backed by Israel. Israel sort of left them there in their stead to protect the Israeli border. And, of course, there was a Palestine Liberation Organization and other factions in the region at the time. So the Irish were there to keep the peace.
And what happened to those three soldiers that day?
Well, as often happens when you've got so many different competing interests in a war zone, skirmishes developed. The Christian militia would sometimes, as the Irish soldiers I've talked to have said to me in recent days when I've interviewed them, there were a lot of mind games going on. They would shell the Irish encampment, even giving them warnings sometimes that, hey, we're going to be doing this in a few minutes. So no one had really gotten injured or killed, certainly. But at one point, things became very tense, and the Irish retaliated to what they called, what they described as attacks from the Christian militia. And there was a firefight, and an Irish soldier was killed, and then a defense force, one of the militia, Christian militia guys, were killed, the Lebanese people. This created chaos, even more so than normal down there. And for 10 days, there was a lot of rhetoric going on. One commander went on the radio and let it be known from the Lebanese side that they wanted the blood of two Irish soldiers in retaliation for this killing of the Lebanese man who was part of the militia, or they wanted blood money, about $10,000 to be paid. In the meantime, the Irish were trying to get their troops out of there. They had checkpoints all the way down to the Israeli border, and the furthest one had not been relieved or resupplied. So they sent in these three soldiers, actually with an American major as an escort. An American journalist accompanied them to see how things were going to go, and he was going to write a story about it. And they all ended up being abducted.
And then?
And then, according to people I've interviewed, including the American journalist who has written about it himself earlier this year, Steve Hendy, he worked for the Associated Press. He's based out of New York, but was sent over there to cover all this chaos that was going on. Mohammed Bazzi, as they called him back then, he now goes by Mahmoud Bazzi, led this group of men, armed men, who stopped these three United Nations vehicles, abducted everyone who was there and took them to an abandoned schoolhouse, separated the Irish from the Americans and a couple of French guys who were there, let those guys stand outside the school while they took them down to the basement, while they took the Irish down to the basement, and opened fire. According to one soldier who was wounded but survived, who I interviewed in recent days, Mohammed Bazzi was the guy who did this. Now, the killing didn't happen at the school. Bazzi allegedly, the two of the Irish soldiers took off but were recaptured outside by Bazzi's men and were loaded into a Peugeot that Steve Hendy, the American journalist, described to me as pulling off with Bazzi at the wheel. He saw the Irish soldiers turn around, and Hendy describes the look on one of their faces as sheer terror. And that was the last anybody had ever seen of them until their bodies turned up later that day, tortured and killed.
And Mohammed Bazzi talked, or Mahmoud Bazzi, talked to reporters in Lebanon shortly after the killings and said, yes, I did it?
Yeah, he went on television and claimed credit for it and went so far as to say, if any more Irishmen come down here, they're gonna meet the same fate. Now, I've interviewed Bazzi myself. Of course, he lives in Dearborn, and we talked to him before he was arrested yesterday. And he says he was there. He admits it. He also says that he went on camera and claimed credit for these killings. Now, what he says, though, is that he was forced to go on camera by one of the commanders of the Christian militia and claim credit, the commander forcing him to do so by saying, I'm going to harm your family if you don't do it. So he says he did go on camera, he was there, but he did not take part in any of the violence that happened. He left before this went on. Now, that's tough to explain when there's a video that that says otherwise, but that's the challenge that we have here, figuring out what the truth is.
And 34 years later, Jim, why is it that Immigration and Customs move now? I know it's been a campaign in Ireland, but not very well known here.
Well, you know, Bazzi may have brought this on himself. He applied for citizenship last year. After living here for 20 or so years on a green card, he decided to make it official and try to get his citizenship. Now, his family describes it to me as wanting to get benefits and be able to survive. Right now, he's not eligible for those kinds of things because he's not a citizen. So he applied for citizenship, and lo and behold, Homeland Security did some background checks on him, according to the people I've interviewed, and called Steve Hendy, the journalist, and made contact through the embassy with the surviving Irish soldier, who I've also interviewed, who lives in Killarney, Ireland. And both of them described the scenario that I just explained to you. This isn't the first time the U.S. has heard it, by the way. They've investigated as far back as 2003, I'm told, but nothing ever happened until Bazzi decided to apply for citizenship. We started poking around on this a few weeks ago, and back then when I talked to United States officials, they would not confirm or deny that they were investigating the guy. I was surprised by yesterday's arrest because it has been 34 years. So the people in Ireland who I spoke to yesterday, including the daughter of one of the slain soldiers, Karen Barrett, her father Thomas Barrett was one of these guys who was killed, are very relieved that that some action has happened, but they are hoping that this isn't the end. You know, they want the Bazzi to face charges on the actual shooting and abduction that happened that day. So we are not sure whether that's going to happen. The U.S. immigration officials will not comment on that. I should say also that I've spoken with Bazzi's daughter. He's got three in the United States who are totally Americanized, who are citizens as well, and they are obviously upset about this and believe their father is innocent.
What comes next for Mahmoud Bazzi of Dearborn?
He's got a removal hearing next week, which is a deportation hearing where the government will try to argue before an immigration judge that he should lose his right to live in this country. Whether that leads to any further discussion of whether he was involved in these attacks on the soldiers, we will see. They're being quite quiet about that subject at the moment. The U.S. government is.
Jim Schaefer is a staff writer for the Detroit Free Press who has been following this story. Thanks for the update, Jim.
Oh, anytime, Cynthia.